I was thinking really about that passage that Janice read for us. When Israel and Palestine is on the news, it tends to be news of conflict, doesn't it? I think that part of the world has seen far too much bloodshed for one place, really. And for us as Christians, it makes it all the more poignant that Jesus died in that place during a time of tension as well. But there is so much more to that place than the conflicts, either past or present. It is also a place, of course, where Jesus rose from the dead, we must remember. And today, it is also a place of reconciliation and of peacemaking. There are Arabs and Jews and Christians working together for peace. In the light of the present-day tensions between Israelis and Palestinians, I couldn't help but think of the tensions that existed between Jews and Samaritans in Jesus's time, and the way that Jesus kind of shocked his hearers into seeing people in a new way by telling them that parable of the Good Samaritan. It meant that they had to look kind of beyond the long-running hostilities and see the faces of real human beings. Jews and Samaritans in the first century hated each other. It was a centuries-old hostility. They refused to associate with each other. They considered each other to be heretics, theologically. There was fighting that broke out between them often, and that was usually followed by retaliation. There were occasions where each of them had destroyed or desecrated each other's holy sites. It's all quite familiar, isn't it? And then Jesus, himself a Jew, of course, spoke to a Jewish audience and told them a parable in which a Samaritan is the hero. A Samaritan is the one who understands God and God's command to love the neighbour. So that parable of the Good Samaritan is not just a story about being kind. It's about breaking apart our prejudices, our sort of assumptions about people, and realising that on a human level, those we might like to think of as enemies might not fit neatly into a box we have labelled bad guys. Because in any conflict, behind all the necessary debates, of course, at a national level about who's in the right, who's in the wrong, beyond that there are human beings, real people like you and me on both sides, who may not fit into those bigger conclusions we make about who's right and who's wrong. There are real people involved. I think if Jesus was telling this parable to a Jewish audience today, it would quite likely be the parable of the good Palestinian. Equally, if he were telling it to a Palestinian audience today, it would no doubt be the parable of the good Jew. It's because it's a parable that is meant to disrupt our prejudices about people. The trouble is, we like to see, don't we, everyone in black and white categories, good guys and bad guys. But human beings are rarely that straightforward. We prefer to take our thoughts about, you know, national conflicts and our conclusions about that, which may be quite right or whatever, but we like to turn it then into a dislike of everyone who's on that other side or whatever, who actually, if we met them, we'd probably realise we know nothing about them at all. We also, I think, like to think God is on our side, that he agrees with us, and that therefore he likes the people we like and he hates the people we hate. But Jesus told this story to kind of ruin those categories, you know, our who's in and out, our good and bad, our righteous and unrighteous, our idea of who's loved by God and who's not loved by God. And this parable just blew that apart. Now, this is not an easy lesson for us to learn, because it's easier if we can just force people into a box and condemn them. The Apostle Peter had to continue learning this after Jesus had risen from the dead. One of the main themes of the book of Acts is God showing the first Jewish Christians that God saw non-Jews, Gentiles as they're called in the Bible, exactly the same as them. It was a challenge for them, because throughout the Old Testament times, of course, God had focused his work on the people of Israel. But now the gospel was kind of going worldwide, and the Jewish Christian leaders, like Peter, needed to understand that God was as much the God of those other nations as the God of them. So in Acts 10, after giving Peter a quite striking object lesson in not calling anyone unclean because of where they come from, the only conclusion in Acts 10 that Peter could come to was, quote, "God shows no favoritism. but he accepts all who come to him, no matter where they're from. The Apostle Paul, another Jewish Christian leader in the New Testament, he became something of a champion of this good news, of how Jew and Gentile are now one in Christ, Paul said. It became very much the mark of his ministry. And so we have a wonderful passage like Ephesians 2 later on in the New Testament, where Paul tells us that the new community of God, the church, which actually he calls a new humanity, God is building this community through Jesus, and it's a community where the old separations and hostilities between this nation and that nation, this people group and that one, those get erased as God creates one new people in Jesus Christ. And as we think about the various conflicts all over our world today, and the conflicts past as well as the ones present that often divide and split one nation against another, one people group against another, and ultimately one human being against another, I offer you these words, just in closing, of hope. These are words of the gospel in Ephesians 2, and this is the power of what God can do through his church. This is Ephesians 2. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. God's purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. And in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and it rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling place in which God lives by his Spirit. Well, may God continue to build that new community of peace as he brings reconciliation and new life and therefore peace throughout the world today. Amen.